And for those of us in Nigeria, we are Nigerians, you are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our theme for this program is Isaiah 52, verse 7 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 52. Say, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. That is our ministry.
That publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings of good. That publisheth salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth.
Amen.
Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the
watchmen of Zion shall lift up the voice. Not their voices. They will lift up one voice. Together we will lift up one voice. Go on.
With the voice together shall they sing.
With that same one voice together shall they all sing chorus.
For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion.
Bringing again Zion is the restoration ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is our team. And the watchmen for God's Zion. God's Zion is the church. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the fivefold ministry. We are the fivefold ministry. Ephesians 4:11 and verse 11 and 12.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers.
For what?
For the perfecting of the saints.
We are in the ministry of perfecting the saints.
For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Go on.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Every wind of doctrine.
By the slay of men.
Slay of men.
And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
That is the group of people that are gathering here today. Great responsibility is placed upon us. Great work is upon this group of people here. God is depending on us. Amen. For this great move that by the end of this program, I believe we shall all come to a proper understanding of what it is all about. The fivefold ministry is the ministry saddled with this responsibility of watching over the church. The parable of the good Samaritan. The parable of the good Samaritan. If we know that parable, read it please for us.
Luke chapter 10 verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite.
Wait, go back to verse 31 again.
And by chance there came down a certain priest.
A priest.
That way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite.
A Levite.
When he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side.
That is referring to the effort of the law to help man. It could not help man. But what?
But a certain Samaritan.
Why is he called Samaritan? Because the Jews will not accept the Samaritans as Jews. A rejected stone has become the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
And that Samaritan is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Read it again.
But a certain Samaritan,
yes,
as he journeyed, came where he was.
We are that bruised man. Was the thief coming up and steal, kill, and destroy?
And when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
Merciful God.
And went to him and bound up his wounds.
He bound his wounds, for by his stripes we are healed. And did what?
Pouring in oil and wine.
He revived him. Oil and wine is speaking of revival.
And set him on his own beast.
Set him on his own beast, that is no more. Are we going to use our own strength? We will not depend on his strength. For without him, we can do nothing. Go on.
And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn.
That inn is the church.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
And took care of him.
Uh-huh.
And on the morrow, when he departed,
the next day, when he left to go back to glory,
he took out 2 pence.
How many pence?
2 pence.
Okay.
And gave them to the host. And said unto him, take care of him.
Why is it 2 pence? Because Matthew chapter 20 tells us that the wages for one day is
1 penny.
How much?
1 penny.
We are ministers now. I'm not saying anything. I'm only recapping what we already know. Eh? The wage for one day is how much?
1 penny.
If he gave 2 pence, it means how many days is he going to spend before coming back?
2 days.
2 days, correct?
Amen.
And then, why we say it is the Lord Jesus? Remember in Hosea chapter 6, verse 2.
After 2 days.
Now, from verse 1.
Come and let us return unto the Lord.
Uh-huh. Return unto the Lord. This is the prophecy to the Jews.
For he has torn and
he will heal us.
He has smitten and he will bind us up.
And when did he smite them? AD 70. That is when they rejected him. He came and smote them. When will they be revived again?
After 2 days.
After 2 days, he will come back to the Jews.
Amen.
And those are the 2 days that he paid for the church to be taken care of.
Hallelujah.
2 pence.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, he gave it to who?
The innkeeper.
He gave it to the innkeeper. Who is the innkeeper that this bruised man was given to? It's the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
That will be the work, perfecting of the saints, and the work of the ministry, and it will last for 2,000 years. And brethren, with that key in Isaiah chapter 6, that from AD 70, when they were smitten, calculate 2,000 years for a day. It's 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day before the Lord. 2 days will be 2,000 years. Calculate from AD 70 using the Jewish calendar to the year 2022. Then you will know that we are truly at the end time.
That's right.
This Jesus will soon come. I remember he's not coming to us in 2 days. He is reviving Israel in 2 days.
Before 2 days.
In 2 days. After 2 days. He will come back to the Jews. That means, just before the 2000 period is over, he will conclude it with a church, Gentile church, that he will collect and go home.
Amen.
So don't wait for 2000 years. The 2,000 years is not for you and for me. It's for the Jews.
Yeah.
Before we go there, we will go home.
Amen.
Are you hearing my language? We'll go home.
Hallelujah.
That's why I sang, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The innkeeper is the fivefold ministry. You have a great ministry that you may not know that you have. God is depending on us for the perfecting of the saints. Our ministry is a beautiful type of the Haggai ministry in the book of Esther, chapter 2. We know it. Maybe we read it verse 8 and verse 9.
So it came to pass.
We know the story of Haggai, Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus, and Queen Vashti. As we start reading it from chapter 1, just to summarize it, you would notice that Vashti, the queen, Queen Vashti, refused the invitation of the king. And the king was angry and had to put her away. And on the advice of those chamberlains, he had to find a replacement for Queen Vashti. That is the story of redemption. He came to his own received him not. So he turned to the Gentiles.
Hallelujah.
To replace them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the story of redemption. And so, that search for the replacement of Queen Vashti is what has been going on in the Gentile church ages. Gentile dispensation. And there are certain characters in the court of King Ahasuerus.
Amen.
The seven chamberlains. There is the eighth chamberlain. There is even the ninth chamberlain.
That's right.
After he mentioned the seven chamberlains in chapter 1, there is the eighth chamberlain known as Haggai, and there is also the ninth chamberlain known as Shaasgaz. And they are all end time ministries. Shaasgaz is the keeper of the king's concubines. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He is also a chamberlain. But now my interest is in verse 8.
So it came to pass,
yes,
when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Agai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Agai.
Who is he?
Keeper of the women.
Who is he?
Keeper of the women.
That is a perfect type of the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
That is a perfect type of the fivefold ministry. Read verse 9 again.
And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification.
See his work. His work is to do what?
Gave her her things for purification.
You are the one to dress the bride. The things for purification.
With such things as belong to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women.
What is the name of the chamberlain again?
Agai.
Haggai. He is a type of the fivefold ministry. What is our responsibility? And we must take so seriously that we have found a need for us to come together and look at these responsibilities. Our responsibility is what Jesus Christ told Peter in John chapter 21 from verse 15, 16, and 17.
So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.
What did he say?
Feed my lambs.
Feed my lambs. Go on.
He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep.
Verse 17.
He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him,
What did he say again?
My sheep.
Feed my sheep. If you love the Lord Jesus, can I see your hand up?
Hallelujah.
Feed the lambs and the sheep of God.
Amen.
Feed them with what?
Meat in due season.
You have to feed them with meat in due season.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You have to feed them for the prosperity of the soul. Until the attention was so much on the soul. And John wanted to balance it. He said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, even as thy soul prospereth. There is the prosperity of the soul.
Amen.
That is our ministry.
Amen.
So Apostle Paul, in that all famous valedictory speech in Ephesus, Acts chapter 20, from verse 25.
And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of
God. Who was he
God.
Talking to? To the elders, to the ministers.
Among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God.
What is your responsibility?
To feed the church of God.
What is your responsibility?
To feed the church of God.
To feed the church of God.
Which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure,
this is the reason,
shall grievous wolves enter in among you.
They are human beings, so.
Not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them.
And there are many these days in the church of Jesus Christ. Therefore,
watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and days with tears.
Despite all his warning, they still abound now.
And now,
may God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. So we are servants. Servants that God has committed his church into our hands as overseers. And there is a requirement in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 1 and 2. Qualification.
Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ.
Yes.
And stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
Again, verse 2.
Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
This is the most important qualification of a steward. Faithfulness. And so in Luke chapter 12, from verse 41. Chapter 12, verse 41. Let's read up to verse 48.
Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?
Listen to what Jesus said.
And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise
who
steward?
Who is that faithful and wise steward?
Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household?
The fivefold ministers.
To give them their portion of meat in due
that
season.
That is our responsibility.
Blessed is that servant. Whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing.
Again.
Blessed is that servant. Whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so
doing. Because
he
will soon come.
Amen.
May he come and find us faithfully dishing out the food, spiritual food in due season to his sheep in the name of Jesus Christ. Read on.
Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath.
In the millennium. That is the reward. Go on.
But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming.
And this is the unfaithful servant now.
And shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens.
Okay.
And to eat and drink and to be drunken.
Okay.
The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him.
You are actually called, though. But how are you serving God? These are some of the things we shall look at here before this program is over.
And at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers.
Imagine that. Go on.
And that servant which knew his Lord's will.
Listen very well. Listen again.
And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself.
You know his will, but you did not prepare yourself.
Neither did according to his will.
You refused to serve him acceptably.
Shall be beaten with many stripes.
Your own punishment, he called it many stripes. Hey. Go on.
But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
Hallelujah. And so Paul was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, maybe read it from verse 1 to verse 5.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also.
Again, verse 2.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men.
Faithful men, are they here today?
Amen.
Let them shout hallelujah unto the Lord.
Hallelujah. Who shall be able to teach others also.
They will be able to teach others also.
Thou therefore,
yes,
endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that worreth entangleth himself with the affairs
that
of this life.
That is the advice. Too many distractions before ministers. Too many. And God will help us identify some of these distractions that I call the enemies of revival. Go ahead.
No man that worreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life,
yes,
that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully.
Verse 5 again.
And if a man also strive for masteries,
yes,
yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully.
That is why my prayer is that we shall all serve God acceptably in the name of Jesus Christ. I repeat, because Matthew 7:21 is waiting for us. Not all that said, Lord, Lord, will enter. Not all. Many are called, few are chosen. Not all. Hallelujah. One thing about a conference like this, it is aimed at equipping the people. The greatest anointing a minister will have is knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of anointing. And for your information, knowledge is also an anointing. That's why he told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. Brethren, if you have been hearing me mention this scripture before, I try to let the people understand the depth of that scripture. Because many of us study not to show ourselves approved unto God, but we study to show ourselves approved unto some certain groups that we belong or want to belong. This is what this group believes. So you want to be part of them. Therefore, you study so that when you speak in their language, then they will say you are one of them. You have heard enter message preachers telling their congregations, Brother Alu is not in the message. Forget it. Pastor Alu has deviated from the message. Pastor Alu is this, Pastor Alu is that. It is simple. Amen. But I use one example for you. When my ministry started, these enter message preachers, some of them, remember for 8 good years, I've been with them. I've never been a member of any denomination. The first church I entered after I gave my life to Christ till today is an enter message believing church. But like I always say, when I was in that church, I never had the ambition or thought of being a pastor. Because if you have ambition, you are planning to be a pastor, then even as you are in the church, your attention is on what will help you when you become a pastor eventually. But when you are sitting down there and all that you're busy is the salvation of your own soul, your focus will also be different. And so anytime they preach against women, I switch off because I'm not a woman, so what they are saying does not concern me. So I didn't know much about what is expected of women because I was more concerned about the salvation of my own soul. I'm a man. So what is concerning me with what women they do? And now I became a pastor. And certain stands have to be taken. One of them is about church order, as given by Apostle Paul. And one of the church order is about hair covering.
That's right.
And one day one of the elders came to me and said, what is the stand on this church concerning hair covering? They come to this church, some people cover their hair, some people do this one, some people do this. It's like you people don't have a stand. I said, it's true. Give me some time. Let me find out what does the Bible say.
What does the Bible say?
What saith the scripture? And I found out that 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is talking about a veil.
That's right.
But all the intermediate churches I belong, 4 of them, the women don't cover their hair. I've also visited Abraham Tabernacle in Jeffersonville in America, and the women don't cover their hair. They called the ministers in my ministry, this church, Bride Assembly. I said, see, this is what I understand from this scripture. It didn't say when praying or prophesying, you grow long hair. It is something you have to do when praying or when prophesying, you have to do something to that hair. And I checked the Greek lexicon, it is saying veil.
That's right.
I said, therefore, all the sisters in this church, they will be covering their hair during service. So, no, that's Catholic now. I say, if Catholics say anything that is scriptural, I will say amen. No.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And the ministers with me, all of them refused to see the revelation. Then I looked at them. I said, listen, when it comes to the things of the scripture, it's not democracy. Hallelujah. I say, as long as I remain the pastor of this church, all the women will cover their hair. They were angry. Some of them even left the church. That's how carnal they can go. What has covering the hair got to do with going in the rapture? Church is church order. Anyway, if I was to study to show myself approved unto the group I belong, then I will be looking at the scripture through the filter of the group I belonged.
Right.
The a fort to me. And that is how they were manifesting their carnality the more before me. If the hair is a covering, then I say, put something else on top. Not be double covering, be that. So why are you fighting me? That is how you know how carnal they are. And I go to your church, I should be the one fighting you people and say, why are you not covering your hair? Why are you not covering your hair? I will not go to your church. He said, they will not come to my own because women cover their hair. That is how carnal they are. And they left me, but I remain with the word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, commit to faithful men. What you have learned, commit. Brethren, we have things we can share among ourselves.
Amen.
Telling you, very seriously. And I believe this conference is timely.
Amen.
God is raising up an army. To deliver the children of God from bondage. Different religious bondage. I always remember Genesis chapter 14 verse 14. Lot was captured by the enemy. See the commentary.
And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servant.
He did what?
He armed his trained servant.
He did what?
He armed his trained servant.
He already had them trained. And he only what? Armed them. And they pursued and brought back the enemy. I mean, his cousin. At the end of this program, we are going to be so armed.
Amen.
And we will launch out and bring out the children of God from every bondage in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Always remember what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37.
Then said he unto his disciples,
yes,
the harvest truly is plenteous.
Harvest is plenty, but the laborers
are few.
Are few. What did he say? Verse 38.
Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Are they here today? Are they here today? Let me hear them shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I told somebody, I said, the end time evangelism is not for God so loved the world. I've gone beyond that. Tell me anywhere in any city in Nigeria that they have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. When churches are in every street, looking for members. God so loved the world. Give your life to Jesus. On television, it's Jesus, Jesus. Everything, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So if you are going to the end time evangelism, it's an evangelism of knowledge. Many of you that you are here today, hallelujah, You were already in the ministry until you came across us one way or the other. Was it anointing that attracted you? It was knowledge.
That's right.
It was revelation.
That's right.
In Isaiah 28, this is what is before us. Verse 8, 9, and 10.
For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness.
Those tables are pulpits, ministries, churches are full of vomit. Go on.
So that there is no place clean.
Everywhere messed up as far as the gospel of salvation is concerned.
Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?
Who qualifies?
Them that are weaned from the
milk
and drawn from the breasts.
Glory be to God.
For precept,
it is still talking about knowledge. Knowledge is the word of God. Let's read on.
For precept must be upon precept.
Listen, this is how the gospel is now. Precept must be upon
precept.
He added again. This was prophecy. This is the Spirit of God speaking, emphasizing again. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. And so, it requires study. Amen. Don't just say things people are saying. Don't be a parrot minister. Make sure it is precept upon precept. When you see it here, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter is established. Don't preach a revelation that cannot be questioned. Any revelation you preach that cannot be questioned, something is faulty about that revelation. Therefore, I disagree with the approach some of the anti-message preachers take. They have taken the quotes, sermon books, sermons of William Branham, and I don't know how they were able to achieve it. I don't know how. When the same man says, whatever I say, if it's contrary to the Bible, he said, throw my own away and hold to that of the Bible.
That's right.
But they say, everything William Branham said is thus said the Lord. And when I tell them, no, sir, everything he said cannot be thus said the Lord. He's a human being. He has his own thought too. And anything that is thus said the Lord, I will not accept it because William Branham said it. I will accept it because it is judged by the word.
Amen. Our absolute.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so in this conference, we will look at so many topical issues. The approach we are going to take is not about you coming to meet one almighty, chief mighty, which title?
Apostle.
Chiefest Apostle.
Zoe.
Reverend Doctor Prophet Olumide. No, please, if that is your mindset, it will be wrong. It will be wrong. What we are going to do here is iron sharpened iron. Hallelujah. Feel free to express your own understanding. We can learn. This man standing here, I am ready to correct any error I find myself. And anybody, God can talk to me through anybody. This Bible is so mysterious that except God opens your eye to see it, you can never see some things. And God wants us to be so humble as to accept that God can use anybody to show you something in this scripture. When you come to an estate where you think you have arrived, it is evidence you are dead. If you come to an estate where you think nobody can teach you again, it is evidence you are dead. If you come to an essay where you cannot progress beyond the point that you are in, it is evidence you are dead. No more life. And so, whoever comes to speak, don't accept it because it is this person speaking. Accept everything because it is proved to be true. And you can live here disagreeing. Be honorable enough and be sincere with yourself. That you don't talk does not mean you accepted it. I used to sit at the back on all my churches. I was a student of the scriptures. There's a man that God himself showed to me in 1995 when I was frustrated. I was stagnated. My soul was not feeding where I was anymore. And I was starving. I was praying. One night, I had an experience with a man. I just came across his ministry by the name of Raymond Jackson. He's late now. And the Lord spoke to me clearly. I heard it clearly. He said, follow the teachings of this man and you will hit the revival you are looking for. So imagine how I'll be fanatical to follow that man. But there are some teachings that I was disagreeing with him. I wrote him, I started sending me his sermons. One of them was this Hosea 6:2. And our pastors, teachers in my church, those who just like to repeat what people say, even when you open Bible to show them, they were calculating the 2 days from AD 33 when Christ was crucified. And I read that scripture. He said, he has smitten us. I said, when did he smite them? It's AD 70. Why are you people counting from AD 33? I met our teacher. Immediately I say, who are you ordinary church member to come and correct us? He said, authorities. I say, you are choosing. There's no need to argue with him. I said, God bless you, sir. But me, now AD 70. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the stuff end time ministers must be made of. Listen. Agree only because it is proved. But there's one dangerous thing. If you disagree because it is this ordinary pastor that is saying it, you are finished. This is the standard you are using to accept truth or reject error. It's not the scripture, but the person preaching. Listen, all these big, big, great men of God and everything, see, it's packaging. It's packaging, it's packaging. Don't deceive yourself. It's packaging, packaging. Go near them and talk with them. They are empty here. But when they, even the cloth they wear, even the title they are bearing is packaging. The cloth they wear is packaging. The way they move is packaging. Everything about them is packaging. How will you challenge somebody who is saying he's a reverend doctor and is the archbishop? How will you challenge him? Unknown to you, that has nothing to do with Christianity. Listen, I think there's an adage, bully, and what? Bakery and what? And plantain chips. Bakery and the difference between bakery, Stanley, you're always eating it. Stanley is always eating bakery.
The difference between bakery and plantain chips na packaging.
Okay, one is called plantain chips. Another one is called what?
Bakery.
Bakery. The difference is packaging. It's the same plantain. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I entered one shop and I saw a suit that they hung there. And they put a price tag there, 150,000. And I was there with my wife. And when I saw it, if you enter that place fully air conditioned, and they did a lot of lighting effects, the way they hung that thing, if you look at it, my. I told my wife, I said, there's one brother from our church where they sell this very material. I said, I see it. I said, it's 45,000 naira. I said, this suit is 45,000 naira. But they repackaged it. And the way you enter there, when you look at it, they say 150,000 naira. Now when you buy and wear and finish, I wear my own stand, you're going to say it was packaging that attracted you. Many of these things, people you are seeing, is nothing but packaging. Have you seen how the overseer is introduced to the altar? Oh my. Somebody is trained on how to introduce him. And then when he collects the microphone, you know, enter message believers, church order. William Branham said when service is going on, the pastor remains in the office, in the spirit. Lock himself in the spirit. Then, when they finish singing, he's ushered in. Then he comes. Then when I go to visit, where I go visit, oh? I go visit. Who did I visit your church now? There's this enter message. I went to one of the enter message for program, oh, now for Ghana. Then they were telling me, wait, we will usher you in. I said, but they are worshiping now. He said, yes, when they finish, they will usher. I said, I want to worship. They're telling me to sit inside this thing. He said, no, you know, just wait. We will call you in. I said, why do you have to call me? Let me enter. He was going, I was following him. He said, I should not come and worship. I should sit down there. Now, to be in the spirit, what gets me in the spirit may be different from what gets Zoe in the spirit. Like Prophet Boboye, what gets you in the spirit maybe if you want a prophet to enter the spirit, it's not, don't sing for him, give him an envelope. Yeah, he has entered already. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Therefore, don't look down on yourself. Iron sharpened iron. So many of these revelations I preach, I get the revelation, but a lot of the back up scriptures that back it up, there are people from around the world that send the scriptures to me. When I made a comment in my sermon that I believe that the position of the Garden of Eden, I believe that that position is Jerusalem. That was what I made a comment. If not, why is God so interested in that Jerusalem? And why is Satan interested in that Jerusalem? I just made that comment on the sermon I preached that day. When I got home, a brother from Greece sent a scripture to me. I saw it. I sent it in a text. I jumped up. A confirmation. Praise the Lord. Therefore, I am open to learn from anybody. You too must be open to learn from one another. Don't think that I call you here to preach to you. Call us here. I'm only hosting it so that iron can sharpen iron. It is going to be a very interactive program, conference. Anybody that speaks, you must stand here and defend what you preach. We ask you questions. We must ask you questions. And you should be humble enough to say, ah, I didn't see it like that before. That is evidence that you are a Christian. It is good to be a Christian before you become a minister. There are people that are ministers before they become Christians. They are the ones that mess up ministry work. It will not be our portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this program, we shall be trimming our lambs. For we are products of the restoration ministry, the shout, which is the midnight cry. The shout in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16, that first stage of the rapture is the shout. And also, the midnight cry of Matthew 25 and verse 6. And when that cry was made, the virgins arose and trimmed their lambs. The lamb there is the word of God. The revelation that we shall all trimmed. We shall trim it, trim it, trim it. If you open the, what do you call this book?
Journal.
The jotter. If you open the first page there, is it the first page? One of the pages there. That is the bright, the topics to be discussed. But they are not, pages are not numbered. Okay. You see the topics, some of the topics that we have to look at if time will permit us. Understanding the entire message. We'll be looking at the works of grace. We shall be looking at what happened in Eden. Then, we shall be looking at how to grow the church. We'll look at how to manage the gifts and the gifted ones in the church. Not easy to manage them. Gifts are supposed to be a blessing to every ministry, but Satan can also turn it against the church. We need to know the secret of how I'm able to keep all these gifted people in Bride Assembly. I can share it with you. We look at understanding your calling. There are people that are just in the ministry and they have not identified which area of ministry they should be. And the truth is, if you are not where God has kept you, you are on your own. God is responsible for where he called you and where he placed you. So we have to understand our call so that we function effectively. Then we look at the importance of social media. How important it is to evangelism. We look at the place of prayers. Churches don't pray. But a pastor a praying church.
That's right.
So the songwriter says Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Because, amen. And I hope to let you, some of you who have not heard me before, to know the secret why we have so many gifts in Bride Assembly Church. And the church did not start with one single gifted person other than a teaching gift. So that you can go back to practice it and you will see the effect. And so many of you who have attended our programs, heard us speak before, many of you have gone back and you sent me clips of what is happening in your ministries. I encourage you to go ahead. We'll be looking at the place of prayers. And there will be general questions and answers. I love questions and answers because it enables us to go wide from one top, every topic. We look at church administration because poor administration hinders the progress of the church. When your church begins to grow, there will be need to organize that church administratively. And we can borrow from each other. I'm not sure there's anybody here pastoring a church that is bigger than the one I pastor in number. Is there any? So, how do we do it? We have to learn how to manage it. By the end of this program, somebody will be equipped with this knowledge in the name of Jesus Christ. There are pastors, like I said, that need more fire. We need more fire. And so we'll be ministering the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have a covenant with my God. Told me some years back, I can never forget it. I heard him. I was walking on the road and he began to talk to me. He said, anywhere you go to minister and my seed is there, I will give them the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it has never failed. Amen. Remember, he said, ye shall receive power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Ye shall receive what? After what?
After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
You can't have power when you have the Holy Ghost has not come upon you. Ministry begins first with receiving the power. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost. Uttermost part of the earth.
Amen.
You can never be a witness of what you have not seen, tested, or experienced. You can't. So I had to tell a brother who came among us and discovered that there seems to be the fivefold ministry in Bride Assembly. We have the teachers, we have the pastors, we have the evangelists. But there were pastors, and evangelists and prophets. But he didn't see teachers. And he believed he was a teacher. And he tried to make us recognize him as such because he was a writer. He wrote books, topical issues on the message. And he will not let us rest. When we talk, we say, as a teacher, I'm talking as a teacher. I'm talking as a teacher. They should listen to me. I'm a teacher. So one day, ministers meeting like this, I said, brother, you are not a teacher. Amen. I said, you are not a teacher. I said, amen. Listen very well. Anybody here who say you are a teacher, listen. A teacher of the gospel is not grammar. It's not eloquence. Because Christianity is not theory. Christianity is practical. Okay. Now, this particular teacher does not see vision, does not conduct deliverance. In fact, I have never seen him pray for anybody. So I said, sir, how will you teach the 9 spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? How will you teach it? what you have not seen. Amen. I can teach you. When I teach you spiritual gift, when I finish, I demonstrate it. Oh, glory be to God. When I teach you anything, anything I teach you, I demonstrate it. I teach you, read it again from verse what? From verse 8. First Corinthians chapter 12, for instance.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom.
Now, that is the word of wisdom. Go ahead.
To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
Now, what is the word of knowledge? The brother doesn't even know it. Word of knowledge. Again, the next one.
To another, faith by the same Spirit.
So, how will you teach faith? Teacher, how will you teach faith? You want to repeat what the Bible is saying, you must demonstrate it for us to understand what is faith. At least give us testimonies that will make us understand what is faith. And I have too many testimonies to prove faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. What's the next one?
To another, the gifts of healing.
Can you see the way it is written there? What did he say?
The gifts of healing.
What did he say?
The gifts of healing.
The gifts of healing, because it is in different ways. There is no one way. Some may be lay, different. You were standing by my side. Was it Tuesday? And there are many people here. What was it I spoke about? What was it I called? Migraine. Now, I was standing there, and all of a sudden, my head was doing cack, 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 cack. Now, because I know it is a sign that somebody is having migraine headache. So immediately I stop. I said, who among you here is having migraine headache here? And he said, I'm the one, sir. I said, now you give me this headache since. And as soon as I pray for him, my own stopped, and I say, it is over. Your own stopped. Now, that is why it is gifts.
That's right.
Some may be by laying on of hand. Now, you see, I am teaching. So how many teachers are here? you will talk through now. How many teachers are here? Praise the Lord. Oh, the angels of God, they come round about. Have you seen one?
Yeah.
How do they look like? So how will you teach us about angels? You read and repeat what the Bible says. You have to prove it. Prove it. Prove it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I have seen angels. And I have told them to do things and they did it. So I can tell you how angels operate. I've told angels to change somebody, chain you. I have told an angel to do a deliverance. And I say, when you finish, let me know you have finished with this sign. And I'm continuing my team. When you finish that sign, I will say it is over. So I can teach on it. Now, for somebody to come and stand and say, I'm a teacher, you prove it too. You prove it. And some of you are pastors because somebody prophesied to you that you are a pastor. Man, I'm not discouraging you. These are some of the things we shall learn here. By the time you will go back, somebody will look at you and say, where did they come from? There's something I believe. What I believe is that if the gift a pastor, a minister is operating in a church, it's a genuine gift. If it is a genuine gift, One evidence is that a spiritual gift is contagious. If you are the only one manifesting in that church, something is wrong. Amen. Let me round up because we are not supposed to stay too long now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So they are all written there. You can read them on your own and know where we are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. By the time we finish this program, we'll be able to respond to what Apostle Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. He said, examine yourselves.
Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith.
In the faith. Only that statement. Examine yourself. Which faith is the end time message? You are really catching it. You will confirm your calling at the end of this program. Hallelujah. And we have prayer session that God will help us and equip us with all that is needed to serve him. We shall pray that he will reveal to every one of us his perfect will. Praise the Lord. Can we stand up? Can we stand up?